You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. This is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week during the show, we share the stories, the expertise and knowledge of business leaders, large and small, with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about how to use data in your business. And to do that, we're joined by two absolute experts. So we are joined by Regina Jonas of Get Data Protection Services and Priscilla Fung of Struck UK. This is a Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson. I look forward to welcoming our two guests after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. I'm really, really excited about today's show because I think that there's so much opportunity for us to use data. And the reason we put the show together is Priscilla is an absolute expert in getting the best out of your data, and Regina is an absolute expert in keeping you data compliant. So it's going to be an interesting show over the next hour. Thanks both for joining us. So let's just start. Priscilla, I'm going to come to you first, if that's okay. What is data? And I appreciate that's a very obvious question, isn't it? But what is data? What kind of data is in a business?
I mean, it's a very good question, actually. I think for me, data in general should be something that helps you make informed decision easier if used correctly. And that can range from a huge amount of stuff like obviously finance, your sales, but actually measuring operation performance, your staff performance, all of that can turn into data if, it depends on how you collect it.
Amazing. Perfect. Brilliant. So I just wanted to set the tone with that, if that's okay. And now let's start by introducing your businesses. So Regina, let's start with you. Do tell the listeners all about you and indeed your business.
Hi. So I run a business called Data Basics. We've taken that over from a previous entity. And so Get Data Protection Services is part of the Get family. So Get Radio, Get Support IT Services. But we trade under Data Basics, which hopefully many of your listeners will know from previous appearances on the Business Brunch. We provide practical guidance, support and training around data protection, so that you can have a practical approach and reasonable approach to how you protect data within your business. And that's very much focused on personal data, but that good data behaviour will often transfer across to confidential business information that you wouldn't want other people seeing as well. So it's all about making you ready to make the most of your data in a way that's legal and compliant.
Amazing. And Priscilla, do tell the listeners all about you and your business.
Yeah, so I've been working in data for a long time now. Previously, I worked on robotics and e-commerce data science, and I've seen the gap between big tech company and everyone else when it comes to using data. So I started my business Struck to help level that playing field. I think a lot of people think that data is something to worry about only when the company gets bigger. But actually, when done right, I think data can be a really powerful tool that help drive growth and reduce firefighting. So our company offer a range of analytics services to help organizations gain insight from their existing data, identify improvement opportunities, and also help implement those changes as well.
Amazing. No, great intros. You're both going to be asked two very challenging questions this morning. And that's a song choice, no pressure. So let's start with you, Priscilla. You've kindly chosen a song for our listeners. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
So my song choice is Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin. I chose this song because I think it's a great tune that just make me smile as soon as the music begins. I think it's a really wonderful reminder to let go of our worry, especially on a really stressful day.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Today we're talking all about data and got two absolute experts who have kindly given their time to give you some insight. So Regina, I'm just going to start by talking about GDPR or data protection, if that's okay. So What is GDPR? What is data protection? And what's happening under this umbrella right now? Big question, I apologise.
Oh, there's a question. So GDPR, for those of you that might not have heard of it, where have you been for the last 6 years? It's a general data protection regulation, and it was a means of upgrading laws that were previously in existence, the Data Protection Act 1998, to make sure that companies who collect increasing amounts of data about each of us as individuals as we move around the world of technology, the internet, our mobiles, online, there's more and more personal data being collected. So the General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR, was introduced back in 2018 to make sure and try and update the law in line with the technological advances that have been made since the Data Protection Act 1998. So there is also the Data Protection Act 2018, which came in at the same time, and the two, the GDPR, which is now the UK GDPR since we left Europe. The two mirror each other currently, and essentially it's a way and a framework that organisations have to within a legal framework to make sure that they're handling data responsibly, that it's not infringing on our rights and freedoms as individuals. So it links in with other legislation like the Human Rights Act, and make sure that it's a responsible use of our data so that we can make sure that we're not disadvantaged, put in harm's way, but that it doesn't stop you from using data. People often use it as a barrier to say, oh, I can't do that because of GDPR. And often that's not right. You can look at how personal data is collected. And as long as you understand why you're collecting it, the legal basis that you're collecting it on, there are still ways that you can use data in an infinite number of ways to make sure that you get great insights that Priscilla is talking about. But it needs to be done in a legal and mindful way of the people when it's personal data that's involved, that you're the way that you're making sure that they're protected and that it's not putting anybody in harm's way.
No, so absolutely.
About that balance between insight that organisations and governments want to have versus the rights and freedoms of the individuals, and making sure that you're always balancing one against the other so that it's a fair exchange.
Amazing. No, really, really good way to start the round table. Priscilla, I'm just going to bring that across to you if that's okay. So I think that we all agree it's really, really important, as Regina put a lot better than I will, that we're taking data in a compliant but also in a fair way. How do you get data whilst being compliant and fair? What's the best way to, I guess, start to obtain data? And also, how do you know what data is going to be useful? Because I appreciate you can have lots and lots and lots of data and you can take it in a compliant way. But actually, if you can't do anything with that data, it's probably not really got any value, has it? So yeah, just what's your take on that piece?
Yeah, so I think in terms of how to get data nowadays, there's so many different ways, right? Basically, every little clicks, every form that we fill in, those are data point. But I think the most important question is actually why? What are we actually aiming for? What is the goal? What are you going to do with the data that you collected? And by really diving into that, you can make sure that you're not wasting effort to collecting the wrong data. You know, when it comes to the GDPR stuff as well, you can then explain what is the value of collecting those personal data as well. And most importantly, I think doing that exercise, you'll make sure that you can identify the like absolute important bit before you even start collecting the data. So yeah, I think that's really important to make sure that you spend a little bit of time understanding the why before you go down the route of collecting data.
Absolutely. And Regina, just bringing this across to you, because I think Priscilla made a really good point there, and also in the intro, in terms of data doesn't just need to be for really big businesses. Actually, sometimes it can be really wise to collect data from the start. When setting up a business, so let's go right back to startup phrase, what do you need to have in place in order to start taking data from a GDPR point of view? And Priscilla, I'm going to come to how you use it in a moment. But yeah, from a GDPR point of view, when you've set up a startup, what do you need in place to start taking data?
So I think some of the points there that Priscilla made is absolutely key in terms of the understanding why and what you're going to use it for. And then that links in really nicely with the kind of data minimization principle and sort of data accuracy, making sure that what you're collecting is relevant to the purposes that you've identified. There's no point collecting data just in case. So once you've understood and those kind of purposes and the what you need, it's then identifying, well, what's the best way to manage that? And typically, I wouldn't ever really recommend going down the route of lots of Excel spreadsheets, because that gets really hard to manage really quickly. So when you're small and starting up, if you can put really good systems and processes in place to begin with and be really clear about the what, the why, through transparency and privacy notices, but if you can then say, set up a small CRM, you know, there are really good products out there. It doesn't have to be anything massively complicated or expensive, but there are some really good products that you can start off with that gets things like your CRM, your customer relationship management system, contacts with the people that you're meeting with, get an idea of how much detail you need to go into or not, where's the limit. Think about how you're setting your website up and what are the points that you need to collect there and how do you transmit to people. Okay, there's a contact form. What are we going to use this for? And just remind people all the way at each step about why you're collecting that data, and, you know, give them the opportunity to ask questions and make that contact easy. But if you can set up those systems right from the start, as you build and grow, you can build and grow those systems and you'll have the basis in place rather than data that's all over the place, that you're kind of not sure where it is, or it's become conflicting because somebody's done a spreadsheet here and somebody's done another one over here and you don't know which the source of truth is. Trying to bring that together takes so much time and effort. If you start right at the beginning and get it right to begin with, not only are you compliant from a GDPR perspective, but you're setting yourself up well for what comes down the line and making those decisions that Priscilla's talked about in terms of that informed decision from a data perspective. You'll know when you can bring an extra member of staff on, when you can go into another market because suddenly you've got a great amount of new clients coming from an unexpected source and that type of thing, because it'll be clear to you.
That's a really, really interesting point. And I think that something that was actually mentioned a few weeks back, which is really on that point, Regina, is the amount of businesses who don't actually know what their margin is and where they're making a profit. They might know what's in the bank account balance and they might know overall how much they're spending. But it was a show a couple of weeks back, and they were saying that some construction site clients could be spending the million, could be working on £1 million development and genuinely don't know if they're making a profit, which is really scary, isn't it? And yeah, it's really, really fascinating. What's your take on all of this, Priscilla?
Oh, I completely agree with everything that was just mentioned. I think there's an opportunity there for early stage businesses if you start thinking about data right at the beginning, because like Regina was mentioning, for software, if we just pause and have a think about how the information flow, and that means in and out of the system, making sure that you do like choose something that have the opportunity to communicate with other systems in the future, so you don't end up having a lot of manual processing, and making sure that you actually think about data and incorporate it in your operation process rather than just having it as an afterthought. And it's so much easier to do that right at the start because you're setting everything up anyway. Trying to get a more established organization and group to change is going to be a lot harder and more expensive. So I think you're definitely thinking about data right at the beginning. There's a massive opportunity there.
Absolutely. Regina, what's your take?
Let's add a point to that. The other thing is that from a GDPR perspective, one of the things that companies that I work with tend to struggle with is the idea of retention. And normally that's because they haven't thought about it at the start, and now they're 5, 10, 15 years down the line and they've got all of this back data that they've still got, and they haven't thought about whether they need it, or they know that they should think about getting rid of it, but they're not quite sure how to even start tackling that monster. So I think, again, if you're in the early stages of a business now, a great tip is to think about how long will you actually need this information for? At what point should you be getting rid of it and deleting it securely, and set your systems up with that in mind, so that then when it comes to 7 years down the line and you need to delete finance or HR data at the very basic, you can then be in a good position to archive it, delete it, and not be looking at a whole pile of information and being terrified at the thought of even starting to tackle it.
Absolutely. No, really good advice. Regina, as with Priscilla, you're also going to have a tough question this morning, and we will judge you. What is your song choice and why have you picked it?
I do feel like I'm going to get judged for this, but I have chosen Run to You by Bryan Adams. Bryan Adams is one of my favourite artists. I've seen him a number of times in concert, and that's just one of my favourite songs that if I hear it when I'm running, it's a good power song to get me around those hard bits. So I hope the listeners enjoy it as much as I do.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back. This is Get Radio and this is the Business Brunch. Following that, I don't think I will judge you on that. That's a good song choice, Regina. You're off the hook. We've been speaking with our two experts all about data and data protection. And I think that what I think we're really keen to get out of the show, which I think we've done a lot of already, is to really help you as the business owner to think about what data do you currently have in your business? What data should you keep in your business? What data shouldn't you have in your business? But actually, the data that you do have and you have in a compliant way, how can you best use that data to have a big impact on your business? And I think that certainly if you don't have your notepad out, get your notepad out and make lots of notes. So Priscilla, I'm going to come on to you, if that's okay, and talk about AI. So AI is obviously something that has really kind of taken the world by storm, particularly in recent years. How does AI impact data? And do you need to think differently now AI is a thing, in inverted commas?
I think that it is a top. I think AI has been a topic of discussion a lot. Actually, comes out a lot in the last couple of years. I think that if used correctly, it has a lot of opportunity. But I think a lot of the time, people are very excited about the idea of AI. But actually, when I start the discussion, we realize that actually their data is nowhere near to a point that you can use any of these tools. And actually what they need is some basic insight that doesn't necessarily involve AI. I think when we talk about AI in general, you can think about it as you can use kind of AI tool that can help streamline some process that's using a third party model, is not using your data, and like stuff like ChatGPT, for example, they can definitely use it to bounce ideas and stuff like that. You do need to be a bit careful of what information you share with any of these third party. Do not easily just share anything confidential. There's another part of it is when you do have a lot of in-house good data, you may want to use AI modeling to start doing more predictive stuff. But I would say a lot of organization, especially if they're not if they haven't been using data, haven't been keeping the data in a good state, they're probably quite far away from the second part. And so, yeah, I think for maybe for smaller businesses that's quite new to that, most of them are looking at the using third-party tools to help them streamline processes, really.
Absolutely. And Regina, I think there's a good hook there for you in terms of ChatGPT, but also AI, because I think, as Priscilla said, I think I've heard a lot that you shouldn't put personal data into a third party provider. Why is that, without stating the obvious?
Well, I think for me, it's one of those things that there's great opportunities there, but people get excited by the shiny new toy and don't necessarily stop and think. And for me, the risk of putting personal data or company confidential data into a third-party AI tool like ChatGPT is that you're not necessarily sure about what they do with it at their end. Do you know what that's going to be used for? Is it going to get popped out somewhere else because actually it's training the model, and so the companies that own the model can then use it elsewhere? So you need to be really confident before you start using these tools that you understand what the impact is on the data that you're sharing with it. There are options that you can incorporate AI tools into your own environment. So I think Microsoft offers Copilot. I think Google's is Gemini, and that will keep it within your own environment. So it won't use information outside of your organization, but again, it can take what's in your organization, make it easier for people to streamline processes and find information. Now, the big warning there that I would put up is that something like Copilot, it mirrors existing permissions. So that if you implement it in your organization and you've got quite an open permission base, then you need to be aware that people will be able to ask questions and maybe see information that you thought might be secure. So if permissions are set incorrectly and somebody, let's say, asks the question, how much does Ben earn, or why was Ben off sick last week? Suddenly people have got much easier access to information that maybe before they wouldn't have taken the time to dig around and find, because it'd be buried in a filing structure somewhere. So before you implement it, you should absolutely be checking your permissions. And for external tools where they have AI elements, so there might be some HR platforms that offer AI modules or benefits in the recruitment process. And even within your own organization, you should absolutely be undertaking a data protection impact assessment. And those were introduced, they were the best practice pre-GDPR. When there's high risk processing involved, which means it has a significant impact on individuals, companies are obliged to do a data protection impact assessment. And one of the tick boxes for the trigger of doing one is new technology where there's likely to be an impact. And I would argue that AI is new technology. You need to think about how you're implementing it. And a data protection impact assessment will help walk you through the questions to make sure you're thinking about, what are you putting in there? Is it personal data? Is it special category data like health, political opinions, that type of thing, that could then cause significant impact on individuals through harm or emotional distress if that information becomes available through an unexpected reveal through AI. So for any companies thinking of rolling out those tools where it's going to be using personal data, absolutely please do a data protection impact assessment, because it will help you stop those data breaches coming down the line, which I feel like we might start seeing a little bit more routinely where companies have done it without necessarily thinking through the consequences.
Absolutely.
Sorry to be a harbinger of doom.
No, it's really, really useful. It's really, really useful. Priscilla, I'm going to ask you a question that Regina might want to jump on as well, which is, how do you decide how much data to have? And I think that we've spoken quite a lot already in terms of that legitimate interest. But I suppose, to use a Tesco's example, and I am guessing here, I'm not qualified to say this, but I always find it really fascinating that actually, I had a baby 7 months ago, and suddenly Tesco's are sending club card vouchers through for baby stuff. How they know that, I don't know. But in essence, like there's definitely a benefit to, if you can take GDPR out of it for a moment, Regina, I'm definitely going to add it back in very quickly. There is definitely a benefit of having lots of data and being able to use it really cleverly. But at the same time, how do you know what's too much data, what's not enough data, what are the questions you should be asking yourself?
So I think the answer is probably it can be infinite. And, you know, like, obviously, to train like more predictive model, having a much more data, it can enable a lot more of that. But actually, I would say for a lot of businesses, actually starting small is absolutely fine. Focusing on the one goal or area that you want to test on and actually want to understand, and just collect those information. And a lot of those information you found, they're actually internal. You already have all of that already. And just trying to get the most out of that first, because the learning of what is missing, what can't you answer, will dictate which area you should go for and what kind of data you collect. So instead of, I guess, thinking of it as, well, I need to understand like how much I collect and what is every single data point I need to collect, which can be very overwhelming, by kind of segmenting it into a smaller chunk, it is a lot more scalable. And I think that for the staff and for the business owner is a lot more manageable.
Mm-hmm. What's your take, Regina?
I'd agree. And I think you're more likely to get better quality data when you keep it small, because if particularly where you're relying on collecting it through processes that people are involved in, you're looking at trying to get them to collect and input data, and if they can understand how it relates to them and their role, you're more likely to get higher quality information that then makes sense and is true at a management level to help you make those decisions. From a data protection perspective, there is that idea where you're collecting data about individuals is to make sure that it is relevant, that it's not over excessive in terms of the purposes that you've identified. And I think it's always that, it's about the purposes you've identified that you want to achieve, and making sure that the data that you are collecting in relation to that purpose is relevant. And it might be you have one item, one data item for multiple purposes, and that's absolutely okay. But I do think there's a tendency for people to want to sort of go, oh, we'll collect it all in and see what we can use it for down the line. And Priscilla's absolutely right. If you start small, understand how that's impacting, what it's in telling you, and is it working, you can then expand that out with justification, understanding what your next purpose is, and then take what you've learned, and you'll end up with a much better system than if you just try and suck in as much as you can as quickly as possible. Now, there are those organizations that, you know, they've been going a long time, likes of Tesco's, you know, I love a loyalty card, but, you know, they know every single purchase that you make, and they know that, as you know, as soon as you start buying products that are relating to babies, you're going to get those offers coming through. And, you know, it can be really difficult to understand then when to stop, and there can be an impact on that. So, you know, I know that there's been a big supermarket chain with a loyalty card where the individual had a pet and they still kept getting the offers, even though, oh, I think there was a couple of weeks where they hadn't bought pet stuff. And then maybe it was a couple of months, and then they got offer for sort of pet funeral kind of services or something to that effect. So they're very clever in the insight that they can have, but at the same time, sometimes that can impact people quite significantly if they're not really prepared for it, or don't really understand why that information is coming through. So I think there's a lot of processing that's behind the scenes, which is very powerful for the big companies like Facebook, the supermarkets, Google, where there's information being collected about us and profiles being built around us, you know, all the cookie information that's collected. For those of you out there that go, oh, just going to hit accept, that's building up a profile that advertising companies have about you, that then means that influences what you see on the internet. So it's very powerful. It can be really beneficial. But for me, it's always about that insight to understand when you're being marketed to, when you're being target messaged, so that you can then make those decisions about what is that information. Because marketing is one thing. When it moves into political spheres and things like that, I feel there's a whole other area of influence that has the potential to be much more dangerous. And we've seen some examples of that in recent years. So I think it's, again, this is where that, you know, the legislation needs to try and keep up with technology, and it's a really hard thing. And, you know, there's the EU have passed or are looking to pass the AI Act. There's the Online Safety Act. And it's really hard if we look at the last couple of weeks in Britain and the influence that social media had on some of those events. How do we manage that to make sure it hasn't got a negative effect on our society? And all of that is more unstructured data that those companies are making the use that they want to of it, and that's where the balance comes. And I love data, and I think there's so much power there, but that power can be used for good or for bad. And I think we need to all bear in mind that we want that to be used for good, for insight for our own businesses and for the world in general.
Absolutely.
Very deep there.
No, absolutely. No, couldn't agree more. What's your take, Priscilla?
Yeah, no, I was just going to, I completely agree with everything that was you mentioned. And I think you mentioned that a lot of people think that, oh, let's just take a lot of data first and work out what to do later. Now, I think a lot of these big tech companies, they do just ingest a lot of these data. But what you don't see kind of behind the scene is most of that are automatic. And also they tend to have much more robust data like infrastructure in place to manage all of that. And they have an army of data people that's actually trying to clean and sort it out that you don't necessarily see. For smaller businesses, that's not necessarily possible because like a lot of these, I think Regina mentioned, like a lot of these data collection is actually more manual. You can't like collect like as much data. But I think that if you are starting to collect data, it would actually be really useful to have a think about how you are storing it, like your infrastructure, and making it a bit more scalable. So as you grow, instead of having the sea of spreadsheets, which you then can't join the information and you can't make it like grow easier, if you set up all of these thinking about growing in the first place, but then you can then start small, I think that's definitely a lot more manageable for most businesses out there.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, some really, really good points from you both. Let's go to another song, chosen by the radio station this time, and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Introducing you to local trusted experts. This is The Business Brunch, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to Get Radio. This is the Business Brunch. And today we are joined by two experts, Regina and Priscilla, and we're talking all about data. And it's been really, really fascinating conversation so far. So just before that song, Regina, you spoke about data for good. And I think I'm keen to put a question to you both, really, which is, what are the really good things you can do with data? What are we've spoken about how to collect it and how to store it and to start small. But what can you do with data? What's some good examples that small businesses listening will be able to do with their data to have a really good impact on the people's data that it is, but also have a really positive impact on your business?
Yeah, so I think one thing that data can help a lot is SMEs, you may not have a lot of resources. And actually, if you use data properly, it can help you identify the areas that you need to focus on. So actually, with resource constraint, having useful information like that can help direct all of your effort. And I think that can be really, really important. Secondly, I think for for example, recruitment can be a challenge. And by using data, you can potentially identify, which recruitment channel brings in the most committed workers, more response, and actually use that to target your effort. And, same with marketing as well. You can then target your advertising effort to find the most loyal customers.
What's your take, Regina?
For me, I think used well and collected properly, I think you can build trust with your prospects and customers if you're using their data in a way that's transparent, that they understand, that you're not trying to hoodwink them in any way. If you can be clear and open and reassuring about the reasons that you want data, how you're going to use it, and then they see you do that, I think it builds trust in you as a company, the way that you operate, and then they'll feel that they can share that information with you. I think if you're less fair with data, if you're not worried about it, if you're kind of, not really taking the protection of that data seriously, both from a security point and from what you're collecting, people very soon will question whether or not they want to share that information with you, whether they want to work with you as an organization. And you see that with big significant data breaches and cyber attacks, that often companies can be so affected by the loss of their data that they will go out of business. I think Carpetright had an attack back in April. They were already in quite difficult circumstances and are out of business sort of by June. So that's obviously very dramatic, but at the same time, I think it shows the importance of handling data in a safe and secure way, even when you're small. Big companies have huge, as Priscilla said, huge teams of people, not just in analysing the data, but in protecting it. And so small and medium businesses are softer targets. They're more open to allowing people in through the door, that then means that the data's compromised. And if you can make sure that your team are engaged in that first line of defence of the data, I think then you're in a much better position, a stronger position to build that trust and build your reputation as a good company as you build and grow.
Absolutely. No, really, really, really good advice. We are starting to come towards the final stretch of the show. And I think one of the things that I really like to do on this show is to give some tips and some things to consider. This doesn't necessarily need to be new tips because you guys have covered so much already. But if you were to have a highlighter and highlight some of the notes or some things that we've not touched on, what would be your takeaway tips, Priscilla?
Yeah, I think, I think I briefly mentioned that as well. I think start small, it's really important. But also I think engaging your staff earlier on, because I think a lot of the time I have conversation with businesses and it's more the business owner, one metric, but the staff, they don't necessarily understand how does that help them. And for them, collecting the data become chore. It's just extra work on their very, very busy day. But actually by engaging them, and also, as part of the work that I do, sometimes we actually look at, how can we make the data collection easier for the staff? And what information does the staff need to do their job better and easier? And I think by engaging them very early on and kind of giving them as the benefit of actually streamlining the data collection process, make their life easier, I can see the attitude change and people getting more excited about using data. They become a lot more creative, actually. They are the one that start to suggest to me, actually, maybe we can measure this and that. And I think you're just doing that rather than coming from a very high level of, well, I just want to measure the performance of my business and the staff. Having that relation, I often find that's a lot more productive and successful.
Absolutely. And Regina, your turn. What are your top takeaway tips?
So again, building on what Priscilla just said, absolutely. And take that engagement across from the collection of the data to the protection of it as well. Make sure they understand where the risks are for the business and become that first line of defense in keeping it safe and understanding what they're using. And I think the other thing is to, you know, when you are looking at using personal data, introducing new tools, new reasons, new collection processes, always think about the reasons why, your justification, link it into data protection with the legal basis and how long you're going to hold it for. Think about that whole picture from collection to the point of destruction. And if necessary, do that data protection impact assessment. For me, I think particularly with the introduction of AI, doing that at the beginning of a project, beginning of a business, will help you see where the risks are, see where the elements of potential compromise, collecting information that maybe you hadn't thought about or insight that you hadn't thought about that might reveal something more sensitive about individuals, and gives you the chance right at the start to build in how you're going to mitigate those risks, how you're going to protect that data, how you're going to make sure it's handled in an appropriate way. And so in the same way that thinking about the systems and what you're collecting right at the beginning helps, thinking about the risks and how you mitigate them, plan for them and protect the data as you move through that project will really, really help. And there's some great guidance out there around how to do that kind of process of a data protection impact assessment. And I think it sets you up really well as part of your project planning process. So for me, don't forget those.
Amazing. Perfect. And I am going to be greedy this week. I'm going to come up with my own tip. So my tip is actually quite an important one. If you aren't 100% confident that you are compliant with data protection, or if you aren't 100% confident that you're using data in the best way to the benefit of your business, reach out to Regina and Priscilla, because I'm sure both of them will be able to really help you with that. But unfortunately, we are at the end of the show. Time has flown. But thank you so much to our two experts for joining us today. And thank you to you, the listener, for listening. I really, really encourage you to go away and think about how can you use your data in a better way. So thank you. Thank you both for your contribution. We are going to be back next week with three brand new guests. And we're going to be talking about transition to a career in project management. So that's a really, really interesting one that I'm really looking forward to. And three experts from Provec, who are a specialist project management firm, to do that. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this show on the radio or online every Sunday at 11 a.m. There is a podcast format available via all your favorite podcast platforms and is released on the Monday morning. And do look out for the video format, which is posted on the Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and we'll see you next week.